السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ علي. السلام عليكم.
كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ علي.
نبدأ.
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on the days of Sabt and Ahad is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Ismail. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari has compiled Al-Adab Al-Mufrad as a specifically compiled work to guide the people of Islam and teach the people of Islam the lines of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions in their dealings with the people. How have they related with their parents, the father, the mother, the sister, the near relatives, the uncle? How and what are the guidelines that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given for us to follow in our dealings with people, beginning with our near families, and then our neighbors, and then our friends, our subordinates, those who are superior to work to us in the places of work and in very many other places. When people are ill, when they are celebrating, when in various conditions, how do we manage our relationship with people one after the other? This was the first part of what we had learned in about the first 500 ahadith in this book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. And then subsequently, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, began to teach us about the adab of dua, the manners of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of praising Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and in terms of asking Him for our needs. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari gave us lessons regarding them. And this has been the lessons we were upon before the seasons of Eid. When the seasons of Eid and Hajj came, we paused a bit so that we can discuss the matters regarding the season. Fortunately, we were talking about dua and the forms of dua, the manners, adab of dua, shurut of dua, and the likes of that, when we came into the discussions about Hajj, when we came into the discussions about the Eid and the period of Eid. So it's like we came into that period with lessons about how to maximize benefit, how to maximize benefits in the period of dua that we just passed through during Eid and during Hajj, because anybody who was alive, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for life and sound health and iman. Any one of us and every one of us was busy with dua and azkar during the days of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days, and for those of us at Hajj throughout the time of Hajj, everybody was busy with connecting with Allah, asking for His forgiveness, asking for His blessings, asking for his protection, seeking nearness to him, praising him and glorifying him, and the rest of that. These were the matters that we were involved in. So it was as if the lessons we had, the last in the group of lessons we had, got us ready for the season. And as for our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, the last topic we discussed was Babu Salati ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the chapter about the benefits of saying Salatu and Salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the last hadith we read was hadith 643. I hope that we remember the last hadith we read in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, was hadith 643, where Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, reported from his sheikh, Al-Imam Abu Nu'aym al-Fadl ibn Dukayn. And that isnad went up to the eminent companion Abu Hamza, Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, who reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who said, Man salla alayya wahidatan, sallallahu alayhi hashra. Man salla alayya wahidatan, sallallahu alayhi ashra. وحط عنه عشر خطيئات من صلى علي واحدة. Anyone who asks for salat on me from Allah, and we have said that Allah's salat on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ثناؤه عليه وتعظيمه له في الملأ الأعلى. When we say sallallahu ala nabi, when we say that, what we envisage, what we seek upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that he is mentioned alayhi salatu wa sallam, he is praised fil mala'il a'la, and the most high gathering, and the gathering of the malaika. Allah praises the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Yusni alayhi wa yu'azzimuhu. He praises him, he speaks well of him, he extols his virtues. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasalam. Before the creatures of the heavens. Ikhwa, look at this. If the president of a country visits a state and begins to praise a citizen in the country where all the prominent, eminent people, I think a better thing to say is the Council of State meeting. The Council of State meeting includes the state governors. The Council of State meeting includes the ministers and other high-ranking government officials. Ikhwa, take it that in that gathering, there is a citizen of the country. The president begins to praise and praise that citizen and praise that citizen. This is a thing of goodness. Now, how about Rabbul Alameen? He is the creator of everybody. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have just mentioned something that will agitate our thinking about how beneficial, how very, very highly rated it will be that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yu'azzimuhu rabbuhu yusni alayhi fil mala'il a'la. His Lord will begin to praise him. His Lord will begin to show esteem for him, mention him upon goodness, extol his virtues before the biggest of the gatherings of the malaika in the heavens. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla alayya wahidatan, whoever asks Allah to do this for me, you ask Allah to raise the praise and extol the virtues of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and the gathering of the Malaika. If you do that marratan wahidatan, just one time, sallallahu alaihi ashra, Allah will grant you the rewards for that in tenfolds. Allah will grant you the reward for that in tenfolds. Allah will remove from you, Allah will put away from you, ashra khati'at, 10 things, 10 things of indecency that you did, Allah will wipe it off you. Hatta anhu, He will remove it off from you. Just like, look at the way we remove a leaf from the tree. It's hatta anhu. You break it off. You remove it off that person. It becomes completely taken away from you if you say one salat on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first reward Allah gives you is that sallallahu alayhi ashra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will grant you the rewards of that in tenfolds. Wa hatta anhu ashra khatiyat. Hatta anhu ashra khatiyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will take away from you ashra khatiyat, 10 sins, 10 things that you have done, and Allah is displeased with. He will take away the sin from you. He will forgive you. He will cover up your faults, and He will take the sins away from you. So one major way of earning forgiveness from Allah is what? Saying salat on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And another way to ask for Allah's mercy and rahmah is how? Saying salat on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ikhwa, look at this. You will just be saying salat on the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, and Allah will be showing His mercy and His compassion on you. How is that? You have not asked Allah for anything for yourself. You say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. You are asking for Muhammad. But you gain. Two major things are mentioned in this hadith. Sallallahu alayhi ashra. Allah will grant you His salat. Allah will grant you His mercy, His compassion, His goodness in tenfolds. You have not asked for it, but that is what He will give you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, حَطَّ عَنْهُ عَشْرَ خَطِيَاتِ. Such a person, Allah will take 10 sins, 10 misdeeds away from him. It shows that asking for salat and salam on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a huge good deed. And I am sure in the last period of Eid, the last days of the first days of Dhul-Hijjah and so on, we all explored that opportunity to ask for a lot of salat and salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, bi-ithnillah, we'll be looking at another bab connected to that. Al-Imam al-Bukhari titles it, Babu man dhukira indahu al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, falam yusalli alayhi. Babu man dhukira indahu al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, falam yusalli alayhi. The chapter about man dhukira indahu al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The chapter about the one who ذُكِرَ عِنْدَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى السَّلَّمِ. The Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلِهِ وَسَّلَّمِ was mentioned عِنْدَهُ, before him. You were sitting somewhere. You were standing somewhere. You were listening to a class. فَذُكِرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى السَّلَّمِ. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was mentioned, falam yusalli alayhi, and then such a person did not say salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa. He heard Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did not say salat and salam. He was in a gathering, he was in a lesson, he was just passing by, and he heard Zukira Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam being mentioned. But at that, lam yusalli alayhi, he would not say salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What kind of a person is this? Al-Imam al-Bukhari has brought here a hadith that will tell us the ruling regarding such a person. Like we are in this class now, how many times within 1 minute do we mention the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How many times within 1 minute do we mention the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So if a person is in this class listening, or in any other class for that matter, ikhwa, فَذُكِرَ فِيهَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى السَّلَامُ. In those gatherings, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was mentioned. You hear, and then لَمْ تُصَلِّ عَلَيْهِ, you do not say salatu and salam on him, alayhi salatu wa salam. What kind of a person are you? In a hadith that Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi and Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Sunan and Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, they both report this hadith. Others too reported the hadith. It was collected by Ali ibn Abi Talib. We know Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, the fourth Khalifa after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ali ibn Abi Talib said that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, al-bakhil alladhi dhukirtu indahu falam yusalli alayya. Al-bakhil, the one who is completely and absolutely a stingy person. Such a person is close-fisted. His fist is close. And Allah hates al-bukhl, being stingy, being mean, someone who is stingy. What does that mean? He has the rights of people on him. He has the ability to fulfill the rights, and yet he does not fulfill the rights. This is a person who is stingy, bakhil. The bakhil, he has the rights of people on his neck. He has the ability to fulfill the rights, but he holds back that right. Al-Bakhil, the one who is absolutely stingy and close-fisted, mean, is the one, alladhi dhukirtu indahu, is the one who dhukirtu indahu, I was mentioned before him. He heard my name mentioned. He heard me being talked about. Falam yusalli alayya. But instead of saying salat on me, he held back. This kind of a person is a bakhil, absolutely a bakhil from various angles. The first angle from where the bukhul of such a person will become clear is that this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam who came to teach you your deen. Allah told us in the Quran, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. The people were in clear-cut misguidance, clear, absolutely clear misguidance. So Allah raised the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yatlu alayhim ayatihi. He came, he was reading the Quran to us. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. He did all of that within a period of 23 years. The Quran was revealed. The Prophet taught the people the Quran. Yatlu alayhim. He was reading the Quran to us. Wa yuzakkihim. He was teaching us Tawheed. He was purifying our hearts, our behavior away from Jahiliyyah. We too, we could have been misbehaving. But when we follow his guidance, we know that we are separate from the people of indecency with Allah. That good right of behavior was taught to us. He purified us away from shirk. Imagine people bowing down and worshipping a stone. Lakin, when the Prophet came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yuzakkihim. Allah made him a means of purifying the people from these dirty things. Wa yu'allimuhumul kitab. He begins to teach us the Quran, tell us the rulings. This one is like this. This is how to observe Salat. This is how to observe Zakah. Wal Hikmah. He also taught us manas. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us his sunnah. He taught us manas of dealing with people, relating with people, all of what we have been reading in this book, Al-Adabul Mufrad. Does it not deserve that if you hear his name, you beg Allah for him? Does he not deserve it? He has a right that when his name is pronounced, we should say salat and salam on him. From another angle that shows the stinginess of the person who hears the Prophet's name and does not say salat on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that Allah said to him, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. But that person who will hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will not say salat on him, he prevents himself. He has a duty from this verse to say salat ala nabi, but he will still not say it. From another angle that shows his stinginess is that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man salla alayya wahidatan, sallallahu alayhi ashra. Whoever says salat on me once, sallallahu alayhi ashra, Allah will grant him mercy and compassion in tenfolds. Wa hatta anhu ashra khati'at. Allah will put away from him 10 misdeeds. And then this kind of a person has this opportunity. He has a right to do it. He has the chance to do it. He heard the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet he would not do it. So from various angles, the stinginess of such a person becomes clear. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-bakhil. Every trait of stinginess is complete in him. Who is that? Alladhi dhukirtu indahu falam yusalli alayya. The one before whom I will be mentioned, and he will not say salat on me. Ikhwa, these are the best blessings of sitting and listening to the lessons on ahadith. Why? The Prophet will be mentioned many times, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many times will be saying salat on him, earning huge rewards. Someone asks you, why do you go to the lessons on Al-Adabul Mufrad every Saturday and Sunday? One of the major lessons and blessings of it is that a lot of the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be mentioned, and a lot of salat and salam will be said by me and every one of us in the gathering. So it's like a gathering of dhikr. and salatu ala nabi while learning. So it is very, very important. Ikhwa, once we mention the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say salat on him. Say it. Say salat on him. It is from bad manners that his name is heard alayhi salatu wa salam. And then we do not say salat and salam on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to keep us awake, to keep us to our toes when we listen to lessons and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam is mentioned, we should say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who would not say it is from the heads of those who are stingy. To further make us understand this lesson and know the danger in hearing the Prophet's name alayhi salatu wa salam and not saying salatu and salam on him, what are the dangers in it? Al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned this hadith under hadith 644. So he said, rahimahullah, haddathana Abdul Rahman ibn Shayba, qala akhbarani Abdullah ibn Nafi'in as-sa'igh, an Isam ibn Zayd, wa athna alayhi ibn Shaybata khayra, an Muhammad ibn Munkadir, an Jabir ibn Abdullah, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رقى المنبر فلما رقى الدرجة الأولى قال آمين ثم الثانية فقال آمين ثم رقى الثالثة فقال آمين فقالوا يا رسول الله سمعناك تقول آمين ثلاث مرات قال لما ركيت الدرجة الأولى جاءني جبريل فقال شقي عبد أدرك رمضان فانسلخ منه ولم يغفر له شقي عبد أدرك رمضان فانسلخ منه ولم يغفر له فقلت آمين ثم قال شقي عبد أدرك والديه أو أحدهما فلم يدخلاه الجنة فقلت آمين ثم قال شقي عبد ذكرت عنده ولم يصلي عليك فقلت آمين. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith from his Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Shayba. Abdul Rahman ibn Shayba here, he has been connected to his grandfather. His own father was Abdul Malik. So he is Abdul Rahman ibn Abdul Malik ibn Shayba, Abu Bakr al-Madani. His name, Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Shayba, he was Abdul Rahman ibn Abdul Malik, but his grandfather's name was Shayba. We have repeatedly said this. If your name is Abdullah, your father is Abdul Rahman, his own father is Abdul Rahim. It is not wrong for Abdullah to be Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman, or Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahim, or Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Abdul Rahim. I hope that it is clear. The individual can be ascribed to his grandfather. It's a common thing amongst the early Muslims. That is what we see when Abdul Rahman ibn Shayba, his own father was Abdul Malik, yet he was always ascribed to Shayba, his grandfather. He said, أخبرني عبد الله بن نافع الصائغ. عبد الله بن نافع was Abu Muhammad al-Madani. This isnad is from the isnad of the people of Medina. مسلسل بأئمة المدينة. It has in every stage of its report the scholars from the people of Medina. So Abdul Rahman ibn Abdul Malik Ibn Shayba was from the scholars of Medina. He was Madani. Likewise, Abdullah ibn Nafi, kana Madaniyan. He was even from the scholars of Fiqh in Medina. Abdullah ibn Nafi, he was a Sa'igh. The Sa'igh are goldsmiths, those people who make goldsmiths, who smiths gold, who construct gold. They make gold to become one kind of thing or the other, as a ring, as a chain. That was why he was called As-Sa'igh. Rahimahullah, he was very learned from the scholars of Medina. Abdullah ibn Nafi, who was from the students of Al-Imam Malik, well known from the views of Al-Imam Malik in Medina. He was reporting from Isam ibn Zayd, the like of what we just mentioned. Isam ibn Zayd, he is Isam ibn Muhammad ibn Zayd. Isam ibn Zayd, he is Isam ibn Muhammad ibn Zayd. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma had a son called Zayd. Abdullah ibn Umar, we know him radiallahu anhuma, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He had a son called Zayd. So this Zayd had a son called Muhammad. It is that Muhammad who now had a son called Isam. So he is Isam ibn Muhammad ibn Zayd. But like we said regarding Abdurrahman ibn Shayba, Isam ibn Zayd is also ascribed to his jadd, his grandfather Zayd. I hope that it is clear. So he is Isam ibn Muhammad ibn Zayd. Zayd is the son of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Wa athna alayhi ibn Shayba khayra. Ibn Shayba, Abdurrahman ibn Shayba, athna ala Isam ibn Zayd. He was always speaking well. He was always praising and extolling the virtues of Isam ibn Zayd, rahimahumullah. And Isam ibn Zayd, this grandchild of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhumah, he is reporting from one of the scholars of Medina also, Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, rahimahullah. Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir was a tabi'i, rahimahullah, from the scholars of Medina. Muhammad ibn Munkadir was from amongst the first persons to be called Shaykhul Islam, right from the time of the Tabi'un. These days when we say Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, is Shaykhul Islam, some people say, why are you calling somebody Shaykhul Islam? From the first persons who were mentioned as Shaykhul Islam was who? Muhammad ibn Munkadir. He was very elderly. The meaning of being a Shaykhul Islam is, you, from a very young age, you were known with servitude to Islam, learning Islam, teaching Islam, and Allah makes you grow old upon that, upon learning and teaching. So you become like a father. How? You would have had a lot of students. Who had a lot of students? Who had a lot of students? That was the personality of Muhammad ibn Munkadir. The same thing, Abu Huraira. The first person in our religion who was called Shaykh al-Islam was who? Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. According to Al-Imam Ibn Nasiruddin al-Dimashqi in Ar-Radd al-Wafir, if I remember vividly, Abu Huraira was also called Shaykh al-Islam. As for Muhammad ibn Munkadir, the Tabi'i who reported this hadith we are studying today from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, was a very elderly person, well known. The scholars say, rahimahullah, kana min ma'adin as-sidq. He was known with serious honesty. Muhammad ibn Munkadir was a very, very honest person. Wa kana min sadat al-qura. He was amongst the leaders of those who read the Quran. Muhammad ibn Munkadir. He was a specialist in the recitation of the Quran, rahimahullah. Yet لا يتمالك البكاء إذا قرأ حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Muhammad ibn Munkadir also was known with righteousness when he read the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Many times he would weep رضي الله عنه. وكان يجتمع إليه الصالحون. Many of the righteous people during his time would visit Muhammad ibn Munkadir. And he was always, always going for Hajj. Muhammad ibn Munkadir always was going for Hajj. It is on record that Hajj 33. He performed Hajj 33 times. Ikhwa. This is one of the major acts of worship of the early Muslims. Performing Hajj, performing Umrah, performing Hajj. In fact, Muhammad ibn Munkadir was one of those who reported the hadith of Hajjatul Nabi from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. That lengthy hadith of Hajj that we study in Sahih Muslim about how the Prophet performed Hajj. The hadith is very lengthy, about 4, 5, 6 pages in the books of hadith. One of those who reported that hadith from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari was this Imam Muhammad ibn Munkadir. Rahimahullah. Munkadir himself was very close to our mother Aisha, the father of Muhammad. It was said that one day Munkadir went to our mother Aisha, asking her, begging her for his needs. And so she promised him, don't worry, I have some money I'm expecting. When the money comes, I will give you from that. So she got the money and then she sent money to Munkadir, the father of Muhammad. Take this. Ease your difficulty from this money. Munkadir went to buy a female slave. It was that female slave who gave birth to Muhammad, who is now Muhammad ibn Munkadir. From the wealth that Aisha provided Munkadir, he brought a female slave who gave birth to 3 sons for him: Muhammad, Abu Bakr, and Umar. So Muhammad ibn Munkadir had 2 brothers, Abu Bakr and who? Umar. All the 3 of them became scholars. At that time in Medina, this was a very common thing. Those who gave birth to scholars were the female slaves. The same thing happened to Abdullah ibn Umar when he had Salim, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar. This Salim, his mother was a female slave. It happened a lot in Medina at that time, such that people began to buy female slaves so that they can have children who were scholars. From those who gained from that was Munkadir, the father of who? Muhammad ibn Munkadir. We can go on and on because Muhammad ibn Munkadir had a lot of impact upon the people of Islam. And he used to be called Sheikh al-Islam. And Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Muhammad ibn Munkadir reported this hadith from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Anna al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam raqa al-mimbar. Jabir said one day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sa'id al-mimbar. He climbed his mimbar. Ikhwa, this is what we should note about the mimbar. The mimbar should only have 3 steps. Step 1, step 2, step 3. And these steps should be in the direction of the people. The way the mimbar of the Prophet is, it has only 3 steps. Let your manabir, where your imam rises to give the khutbah on the day of Jum'ah, let it be of 3 steps, and that the 3 steps should be in the direction of the people. The staircase should be in the direction of the people, not in the direction of the Qibla. So when the imam is rising on his mimbar, he should be backing the people. Please note this. This is the way the mimbar should be correctly placed in the masjid. When the imam is going on the mimbar, it should be, his back should be with, I'm sure we now know how that staircase should be. And it should be of three levels: level one, level two, level three, up. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Arakal Mimbar, he went on his mimbar, on his pulpit, alayhi salatu wasalam. Falamma raqad darajat al-ula, when he climbed the first level, qala amin. The Prophet said amin, alayhi salatu wasalam. Thumma raqad thaniyata faqala amin. Then the Prophet also went on the second stage of the mimbar, faqala amin. He also said amin. Thumma raqad thalithata faqala amin. The Prophet went on the third level of the mimbar. He also said amin. So how many levels does the mimbar have? Three levels. The first one, the second one, ad-darajat al-ula, as-saniya, wa thalitha. On each of them, as he climbed it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala amin. Amin, amin. Faqalu ya Rasulallah. The companions were very, very observant of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ikhwa, this is a point of benefit when you are with your teachers. Observe them, especially if they are people who are versed in hadith and athar. Observe them. Observe when they do something, ask them. When they do something, ask them. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, one day he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Messenger of Allah, I observe you. When you say Allahu Akbar to start salah, you always say something. What is it that you say? That was Dua al-Istiftah. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriki wal-maghrib. Allahumma naqini min khatayaya kama yunaqqa thawb al-abiyadu min al-danas. Allahumma qassini bil-ma'i wal-falji wal-barad. This dua, that was how it came. Abu Huraira was observing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are ahadith. The companions would observe the Prophet so much sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much that even in the salat, salawatu as-sirriya, the salah where recitation is made silently, they used to observe how his beard goes up and down to note which surah is he reading, the way his beard moves, so that they know which surah is he reading. Likewise, even in the middle of the night, they want to come and see what was the Prophet doing in the middle of the night. One of them said, La armuqanna hadhihi al-laylata. This night I am going to observe what was the Prophet doing, how was he making qiyamul layl. When Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma slept in the house of the Prophet, don't forget, Maimuna is the aunt of Abdullah ibn Abbas. That was Lubaba. The mother of Abdullah ibn Abbas was Lubaba, and she was the sister of Maimuna. One day, Abbas sent his son, Abdullah, to go and stay with the Prophet overnight to learn what was the Prophet doing overnight, what was his worship over the night. What is the point we are making here? The point here is that students, pay attention to your teachers, especially if they are people of Sunnah. Observe them. You will always gain one thing or the other. And it shows how so observant the companions were with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They heard him climb one stage. He said, Ameen. He climbed the other one. He said, Ameen. He climbed the third one. He said, Ameen. Faqalu ya Rasulallah. So, Messenger of Allah. Sami'naka taqulu Ameen thalatha marrat. Sami'naq, we heard you saying Ameen three times. You said Ameen. You said Ameen. You said Ameen. What are you saying? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We heard you saying Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are you saying? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them that Lama arakitu darajat al-ula, when I was stepping up the first level, Ja'ani Jibril, Jibrilu alayhi salatu wa salam came to me. Faqal, Jibril said, Shaqiya abdun adraka Ramadan, fansalakha minhu, walam yughfar lahu. Jibril said, Shaqiya abdun, as if to say his shaqawa is established. So it came with Sigatul Madi. Shaqiya, he is already wretched. He is already at loss. Who is that? Abdun, a servant. Adraka Ramadan. He was alive in the month of Ramadan. He was healthy in the month of Ramadan. He was available, or she was available in Ramadan. Fansalakha minhu. And then Ramadan gradually went away. In silakh. Ramadan gradually went away. Gradually, he got separated and Ramadan went. Walam yughfar lahu. And he was not able to gain forgiveness in Ramadan. Jibril said, Shaqiya abdun. This kind of a person is a wretched person. Somebody will be alive in Ramadan. All the opportunities of Ramadan, all the openness of Ramadan, all the fact that the devils are already chained in Ramadan, the gates of Al-Jannah are open in Ramadan, the gates of the fire are closed in Ramadan, all of these, they just go like that. The man did not do anything for which he will be forgiven by Allah in the month of Ramadan. This kind of a person is a wretched individual. It's a useless individual. It's an individual at a loss. Is that till Ramadan came, you didn't gain forgiveness from Allah. May Allah protect us. Let us, you think of it. Think of it. The season of profuse, the season of plenty, the season of tremendous blessings came and went like that. He did not gain anything. So Jibril said, Shaqiya abdun adraka Ramadan. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهُ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. This individual is at a loss. Ramadan came, he was alive, he was healthy, he was able, but he did not gain forgiveness. فَقُلْتُ آمِين. That was the first آمِين the Prophet said آمِين to. صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet said آمِين عليه الصلاة والسلام. There's a point of benefit here. We'll come back to it. What is it? That when a person makes dua, the other one can say, Amen. I remember some young boys came sometimes, started saying, ah, what is the proof that when someone makes dua, the rest of us should say, Amen? See this hadith of Jibril and the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Someone makes dua, the other one said, Amen. It's clear here. Jibril said, Shaqiya abdun adraka Ramadan, fansalakha minhu walam yughfar lahu. The Prophet said, Amin. So he said, Amin. So there is no looking for an evidence. This is clear-cut evidence. So the Prophet said, Amin, to that dua of Jibril. Summa qal. After that, Jibril said, شقي عبد أدرك والديه أو أحدهما فلم يدخلاه الجنة صلى الله عليه وسلم. شقي عبد. A servant is already wretched. A servant is already at a loss. Who is that? أدرك والديه. He was lucky to become matured to witness and see his two parents. You are alive. Your father was alive. You are alive. Your mother was alive. Some people, when they were born, their father had died. There are many people like that. One of them was the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. When he was born, his father had died. One of them was Ummu Kulthum, the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. When she was born, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq had died. There are many examples, but for you, you were born, you grew up, your father paid all attention to you, your mother paid all attention to you, you were up, Adraka walidayhi. You became mature to meet your parents. Aw ahadahuma, or one of them, whether the two parents or one, you became matured. Falam yudkhilahu al-jannah. The two of them could not put you into al-jannah. What does that mean? How will the two of them put you into al-jannah? You were not nice and kind to them to the extent of being able to gain al-jannah from your kindness to them. You were very obstinate. You were undutiful. You were recalcitrant. You were nonchalant regarding them. You kept obliviousness. You don't care. No good deed. No respect. No esteem. No attention. No care. When they send you on an errand, you go when you like. When you don't like, you don't go. This is the kind of life that you lived. So you could not earn Allah's mercy and his al-jannah from your two parents. I saw one of the brothers with whom we went for Hajj this year. He was in our team. And I really doff my hat of respect for this brother. The brother came to Hajj with his wife, his father, and his mother at the same time. Two old people. Your father was very old. The mother was very old. He brought his father and his mother together with his wife. Ikhwa, this is success. This is goodness. They never performed Hajj before. When we spoke, he now even said he just completed a house for them. He completed a house for them in Ilori, I think, where the father and the mother are living now. So he thought, the next thing is that I should bring my father and my mother to Hajj. He could have brought them one after the other. But the joy of their coming together is unequaled. If he brought them one after the other, he has tried. Abi, if he brought father and then he brought his mother, he has tried. But he brought father and mother together. He now brought his wife, who will be serving father and mother. Then he came himself with them. I envy this brother so much. May Allah increase his wealth, ease his affairs, bless his children, make things easy for him. The kind of kindness that he has shown to his parents for bringing them for Hajj. May Allah be kind to him too. And be kind to his children too. Expand his wealth. Make him a better person upon his religion. Ikhwa, if your parents are alive, go and start taking care of them. It does not have to be bringing them for Hajj alone. There are many other ways you can be kind to your parents. Go on errands. Call them. Talk to them. Spend time with them. I have observed that old people like you to sit down with them and gist with them. They need it more than the money. Many old people suffer from loneliness because their children don't even have the time to spend with them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibril alayhi salam said, Shaqiya abdun, a servant is wretched. A person is at a loss. Who is that? Adraka walidayhi abdun. Adraka walidayhi aw ahadahuma. He was matured enough to meet his two parents. Or ahadahuma, one of the two parents. And that was what Allah told us in the Quran. Waqad rabbuka alla ta'budu illa iya. Wa bil walidayni ihsana. Imma yablughanna indaka al-kibara. When these parents, يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ. You are available, you are alive, you are healed and healthy. And then they reach Al-Kibar, they reach the age of oldness. Allah said, أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا, whether one of them or the two of them. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ, don't scorn them off. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا, don't be insulting to them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, when you speak to them, be honorable. إخوة, all of us must pay attention to this. Our parents. Jibril said, شَقِيَ عَبْدٌ أَدْرَكَ وَالِدَيْهِ أَوْ أَحَدَهُمَا فَلَمْ يُدْخِلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. You become old like this. Your parents are alive. It was not an opportunity for you to gain al-Jannah. It is from the signs of wretchedness. What is the value of your money, your wealth? What is the value of your luxury? What's the value of your comfort? What is the value of your working? What is the value of your sense if your parents cannot enjoy you while they are alive? You cannot be dutiful to them. So when you are like this, it shows that you are a wretched person. You are a man or a woman at a loss. Allah protect us. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqultu amin. So I said, amin. I said, amin. Thumma qad. Then Jibril said, Shakiya abdun, lukirta indahu. And this is our point of reference. Jibril prayed a third dua. What is the dua? He said, Shakiya abdun, lukirta indahu. A man is a loss. A man is wretched. A man is foolish. A man is indecent. He has is a zero success, failure. Who is that? Abdun, a servant. Zukirta indahu. You, Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are mentioned before him. Walam yusalli alayk, and he did not say salat on you. Ikhwa, you can see how dangerous it is. It has come together with undutifulness to parents. It has come together with not asking for forgiveness in Ramadan. It shows that it is something that is very significant. What is that? That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, each time you hear him being mentioned, what should you say? You should say salat and salam on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you don't do it, Jibril has a dua. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said amin to that dua. What is the dua? Shaqiya abdun. You should be at a loss. Loss should be your portion. Loss. Wretchedness should be your portion. Backwardness should be the portion of who? Abdun dhukirta indahu. An individual who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned in front of him. Walam yusalli alayhi. And he will not say salat and salam on the Prophet. What loss are those? Alayhi salat. What is the loss? Allah said, if you say one salat on him, I will give you 10. You don't know the magnitude of each one. So is it not a loss? It's a loss. What does it cost you to say alayhi salatu wa salam? What does it cost you to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What? It does not cost you anything. Before 2 seconds, you have said it. So if something you can do in 2 seconds can earn you something bigger than this world, and you can't do it, is that not a loss? It's a loss. It's a loss. The Prophet also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you say one salat on me, Allah will remove 10 sins from you. You can do that. You can earn purity from 10 sins in less than 2 seconds. How? Say salatu ala nabi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Huge. This moment, I have 10 sins taken away from me. And Allah rewards me with His salat in 10 folds. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of which I don't even know the magnitude of it. Now, is it not a loss when you now even hear His name? And then you don't say it. You hear the name Muhammad. You will not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is it not a bigger loss? So Jibreel said, Shaqiya Abdun, a man is at a loss. Zukirta indahu. You, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were mentioned before him. Walam yusalli alayk. And he would not say salat on you. Fakultu amin. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I said, Ameen, Ikhwa, this hadith is evidence that it is absolutely necessary. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al Uthaymeen, when he was explaining that, Alladhina amanu, salu alayhi wa sallimu taslim, he brought this hadith we are talking about today. He said, this hadith is evidence that it is compulsory, obligatory. Before you start asking me, are you now saying that it is compulsory? Don't ask that kind of a question because I will not answer it. Is it now compulsory for us each time we hear the Prophet's name, we should say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? People like asking questions like this. So don't ask it because the question is invalid. The lesson today has rendered that question invalid. The best amongst us now, the most reasonable amongst us now, is the one who إذا ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عنده صلى أو يصلي عليه. Whenever the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is mentioned before him, he will say salat on him. This is the best among us today. Anytime you hear his name, صلى الله عليه وسلم being mentioned, say salat on him. عليه الصلاة والسلام. If you don't, that dua of Jibreel is waiting against you. May Allah protect us from that. Bismillah, we stop here today to take a few questions. The take-home lesson amongst the major lessons today is, it is not lawful. It is not lawful that any of us hears the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he will not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Jibreel said, Shaqiya Abdun, an individual is at a loss and wretchedness. Zukirta indahu, you, Muhammad, was mentioned before him. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Walam yusallim alayk. Walam yusalli alayk. And he would not say salat on you. Fakultu amin. The Prophet said what? Amin. May Allah protect us from loss. May Allah protect us from wretchedness. May Allah protect us from backwardness. May Allah protect us from disgrace. If you want all of these, each time you hear the Prophet's name, you should say what? Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I hope that the lesson is clear. Can we take a few questions today, inshallah?
Ameen
wa iyyakum.
And the first question here is this hadith of Jibreel applicable to parents who gave birth to a believer but outside wedlock?
If you want to ask about children who were born outside wedlock, ask that as a separate question. If you want to ask a question about children being dutiful to parents, ask it separately. Don't connect two things that are separate. If you want to ask about children, what is the ruling about children who were born outside wedlock? Ask it separate. If you want to ask about the dutifulness to parents, ask it. These are two completely different issues requiring different approach to the response. What we have said is clear. A child has parents, whether wedlock or wedlock. You have parents and you are undutiful to them. This is the consequence. I hope that it is clear, Baldur.
Naam, ya Sheikh. Jazakumullah.
Amen.
So another question is, please, sir, can you help with the supporting evidences for reciting Salah to Allah Nabi after Adhan, but before the dua of Allahumma Bali Dawud?
That hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. The hadith that when you finish the Adhan, you should say Salah to Allah Nabi. The hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. The day we learnt it here or in the class on Adda'u wa Dawa, we expressly mentioned that hadith to us, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he told us the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, that after the Adhan, and the hadith was actually collected by Umar ibn al-Khattab, after the Adhan, you should say Salatu ala Nabi. He said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُوا ثُمَّ صَلُّوا عَلَيَّ. إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ, when you hear the Muazzin calling the Adhan, فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ, say the like of what the Muazzin says. When the Muazzin says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you should say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When he says, Hayya ala salat, Kulu mithla ma yakul, you should say, Hayya ala salat. When he says, Hayya ala al-falah, what should you say? Hayya ala al-falah. When he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, what should you say? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When he says, La ilaha illallah, what should you say? La ilaha illallah. Don't add Muhammad Rasulullah. Because he said, say the like of what the Muazzin says. So when the Muazzin ends his Adhan and says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, what should you say? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Then the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Thumma, after that, Sallu alayya, say salat on me. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ صَلَّ عَلَيَّ صَلَاتًا صَلَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِهَا عَشْرًا. Because anyone who says salat on me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marratan, once, Allah will give him 10 in manifolds. He now said, summa سَلُوا اللَّهَ لِيَ الْوَسِيلَةِ. After that, you can be asking for al-wasila. What does that mean? Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma was-salati al-qa'ima. Ati Muhammadan al-wasila. This is asking Allah for al-wasila for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said, fa innaha, because that al-wasila you are asking for, manzilatun fil jannah, it is a status inside al-jannah. La yambagi illa li abdi min ibadillah. Only one servant deserves it. It is not deserving for anybody except for a servant. Wa arju an akuna ana huwa. And I expect that I will be that servant who will be given that al-wasila inside al-jannah. I hope that you got the reference now. The hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim that after the Adhan, you say Salatu ala Nabi, then you say Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma. This again is for those of us listening to the Muazzin. It is not for the Muazzin. Muazzin's job ends when he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Muazzin, that is where your job ends. As for the rest of us, we are the ones that this thing is applicable to. Those of us listening to the Muazzin. Muazzin does not say anything after Adhan. When we're younger than this, after you call Adhan in the masajid, you say, Allahumma rabba azidati wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. That was how we were taught to go. They were also following this hadith. But it was wrong for the Muazzin to be saying that. Those who should say it are those who are listening to the Muazzin. I hope that you got the reference. I hope you write it down so that you don't come and ask for that reference again. About the Rahman. I mean.
So another question is, please help us ask our Sheikh today about get together that people that came back from Hajj organized for friend and family. May Allah continue to enrich Sheikh with knowledge and learning.
Well, the feasting for those who just returned from Hajj. Feasting in our religion, whether you return from Hajj or you didn't even return from Hajj, Ikhwa, let us do it a lot. It's amu an-nas it'am. For gathering the people and providing a meal for a feast. Brothers, let us be doing it. It is from the major aspects of our religion. The Prophet told us, he says, At'imu ta'am. Provide feasts, make feasts all the time. A witch should not go past except that we have a brother organizing a feast. Who is feasting us today? It's from the Sunnah. So if it's an act of ibadah by itself, feasting, calling your brothers to eat with you in your home, whether they are two, they are three, they are four, five, six, any number. You have money, call them, brothers, come and eat. Not until the day you have a child. Not on the day you get married. Not until the day you buy a car. No, feasting itself is an act of worship. So if it is now done by way of giving thanks to Allah, because the brother just returned from Hajj, whether he did it by himself, Allah, I thank you. This Hajj was smooth for me, was good, and I thank you for taking me for Hajj. Feasting is an ibadah, and we give thanks to Allah with an ibadah. You use an ibadah to thank Allah for making an ibadah easy. It's not unlawful, it is very lawful. It is very, very lawful. You organize a feast, you slaughter a ram, or you buy meat, you buy some rice, you buy some chicken, you feast the people. It is lawful. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Al Uthaymeen was asked this question, and that was the response that he gave. It is lawful when people arrive from Hajj specifically, and then they feast the people. The same thing, you are happy. Feasting itself should be a regular thing with us. One of the ways to thank Allah. You have a house, you can call us to a feast. You bought a car, call us to a feast. You are just glad over something, call us to a feast. I'm not saying call me or me. I'm just saying call your brothers wherever you may be. Call them to a feast. Invite your friends to a feast. But these days, many of the brothers, maybe because we are stingy these days, we are more nuclear. It's just all about me and my family. So you see families throwing away meals, they throw away food to be in the freezer for a month, 2 months, they throw it away. Why not invite brothers and feast? It doesn't have to even be ready to be thrown away before you invite people to feast with you. The unfortunate thing is that we're in a community, Yorubas still have a lot of thoughts of Jahiliyyah. If you find one brother now regularly feasting people now, they'll start thinking, he's eating from their wealth. Jahiliyyah is still disturbing many Yorubas. Jahiliyyah. See, he's eating from their wealth. He eats from one brother, eats from the wealth of another brother. He's taking their success. It's Jahiliyyah. It's from the thoughts of Shirk and the people of Shirk. So let us put aside all these thoughts of Jahiliyyah that has drawn people back. They are unlawful thinking. Brother, make a feast. Feast people. Invite good people. Don't invite bad people. I know a very rich man. Anytime he's feasting musicians. You will hear one musician go to feast with him, even in Ramadan. It's an act of shamelessness. The Prophet told us who to feast. Feast people, righteous. He didn't hear about Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir. يَجْتَمِعُ إِنْدَهُ الصَّالِحُونَ. Righteous people always go to him. Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, who reported the hadith we read today from Jabir, that was one of the things he was known for. Always feasting righteous people. The Prophet told us, سِوَانْ لَا يَقُلَ تُعَامَكَ إِلَّا تَقِيٌ. Nobody should eat your food except those who are righteous. So when we say feast people, it does not mean feast irresponsible people. Look for good people in your community. Invite them to your house for a feast. So may Allah forgive all of us. So if the feasting coincides with the individuals returning from Hajj or from Umrah, or that he built a house, or things like this, then it is lawful, inshallah. I hope that this is clear about Rahman. Are you feasting? Because I know you too, you just returned from Hajj. Are you feasting?
Absolutely.
Because I know that you too, you just returned from Hajj. Are you feasting? If you are feasting, invite me, I will come, inshallah.
I'm not doing this.
Yesterday, one of our fathers, a very close friend of my own father, passed away. That was Al-Hajj, that's as he is called, Abdul Ghani Adedokun. He's the elder brother of Ustaz Murtada Adedokun. He was very, very close person. He's the closest person to my own father. He passed away yesterday in Oshogbo. Unfortunately, I traveled to Lagos to attend a marriage today. So when I left in the afternoon, I was called that he had passed away. I was with him last Tuesday. And wallah, he was still making adhkar. La ilaha illallah, salatu ala nabi, istighfar. We spoke about it. He said, Ibrahim, this is what we know for years before we give birth to all of you. So he became old and he fell ill. He passed away yesterday. He was buried yesterday, I think. May Allah forgive him. He was a very, very good person, very decent, very brilliant, very straightforward. Disciplinarian. You know those babas that are disciplinarian. Straightforward. That was how he was. May Allah forgive him. May Allah pardon his mistakes. May Allah admit him into Al-Jannah. May Allah make the Jannah a place of ease for him, the grave a place of ease for him. May Allah not punish him. May Allah forgive him, pardon him, overlook his mistakes, and then care for his children after him. Ikhwa, many things happen after a man passes away. Many things happen to his home. We beg Allah to protect his home, his children, his relatives that he has left behind, and those of us that we see him as a father too. When my father passed away in 2002, that's how many years ago? 23 years ago. He was the first person I broke the information to. Your friend has died. He said, ha, Alhaji Tiku. I said, yes. So he said, come and see me. I went to him. We went to the Imam together. We did everything together. On the day we were to observe Salatul Janaza of my father, the Imams were tarrying. They were waiting for Imams. You know the way Imams will be waiting. One Imam, he said, you know, if Ibrahim goes in front now, he will lead this Salah, because the Hausas in our community were already gathering. Everybody had gathered. So they were now waiting. He was the one who told them, let us pray and go. May Allah forgive him. May Allah pardon him. Protect his children and his home and his family after him. Make his Jannah easy for him. Make Al Jannah easy for him. Whenever our own times too shall come, Allah, we beg you to make it be upon Iman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. May Allah forgive all the rest of the Muslims who have passed away. May Allah forgive them, pardon them, and make their graves a place of ease for them. Ya ذا الجلال والإكرام. Ya حي يا قيوم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. كما صليت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أسأل الله أن يرحمك.